Amen. Thank you, my girl. Good evening, everyone. We welcome back to the Lord's house tonight. If you'd be so kind to stand with me, I'll ask the Lord's blessings as we worship the Lord with our offering. Go ahead and stand up. And again, thank you for all your encouragement over the last couple weeks. We're grateful for that. And I'm just really blessed, I said this morning, truly blessed to be part of Emmanuel Baptist Church. And I truly, truly, truly believe from the bottom of my heart that our greatest days lie ahead of us. I think I don't really think we've touched the tip of the iceberg of what God wants to do with us. So we're grateful for that. Don't forget some of the announcements that have been already made this morning in your bulletin. You can read about them. I will say one thing. On January 17th, which is Saturday at noon, we'll be feeding 100 homeless veterans here at our church. We'll be using the annex building. There's a list of items in the back. We didn't get this information until Friday night, so it's going to take a joint effort of everybody. If you can help out, we'll be greatly appreciated of some of the items that they need, as well as some of the food items that we'll need that day. Ms. Tracy Shear is donating the meat for the meal. Susie's donating the salad, but there's some other items if you could help out in that. On the list of items to bring, I think there's toothbrushes and toothpaste, there's 100 of each item. So on those, make sure when you look at those lists back there on each line, you'll notice in parentheses it gives an amount. So when you sign that list there, if you can bring 10 of, or however, if you can donate 100 of, that would be greatly appreciated. But we want to minister in Jesus' name that day and love on these fellows that have willingly sacrificed and given of themselves in fighting for our country over the years. And so we have a privilege to be able to do what we're able to do. Sorry to drop it on you kind of last minute, but we didn't get the information till very recently. So let's pray, and we'll worship the Lord with our offering. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of being back in your house. We thank you, Lord, for a church, Lord, that has a vision and has a passion to make a difference for your kingdom. And, Lord, even as the upcoming, in 2 weeks, the upcoming event, Lord, to feed these homeless veterans in our community. Father, what a sad day it is in our country to see what we've done to our veterans. But Father, may we just give them a little bit of hope that day, and may we just love on them in Jesus' name, and may we just encourage them, Lord, Father, with a nice warm meal and maybe some little toiletries, Lord. And we just thank you for our church family. Lord, they always respond. And Lord, I know it's brief in time that we've given them, just less than 2 weeks, literally, Lord, to get this together. Father, I pray that we'll be able to get it together and be able to make an impact for your kingdom. May we show forth our love, Lord. And Lord, we're so grateful again to be part of a church that believes in reaching out. So Lord, bless this offering. Use it to further your kingdom. May you continue to have your will in our lives. For it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen.
Thank you. trusting you, it would be easy to turn around and walk away. But if you feel you're all alone, remember God's still on his throne. You can rejoice, for your help is on the way. Rejoice, my child.
Bible tonight, please, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. We normally have been on Sunday nights looking at Psalm 23, actually looking at the inspiration for God's hymn book, but would like to finish a message I started this morning. The weather's pretty nasty out there, so we're hoping to get you out of here in a timely manner, and please be safe when you leave. While you're turning in your Bible, 1 Kings 18, had a funny story. Where's Aaron Long at? Where's Aaron? Is he outside smoking again? This is the year for you to get delivered from that. Yeah, I see. He cracks me up. The Long boys absolutely crack me up. They have a gift of agitation. I mean, a gift of encouragement in their weird way. But I went up to him tonight. And I said, "Hey, man." I said, "Hey, you look sharp tonight." And he said, "Hey, thanks, preacher." He said, "Last week, Aaron's wearing a nice sweater." And he said, "Last week, they were at the nursing home ministry." This is a true story. I'm not making this up. This is an honest, true story. He said, "Last week at the nursing home ministry," he said, "me and my family were there." And he said that one of the senior adult residents in the nursing home saw Aaron, and he saw his sweater. And he told Aaron, he accused Aaron of stealing his sweater. Aaron's like, "No, sir, this is not my sweater. That's my sweater." And but he did steal his pillow. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. But the boy cracks me up, and I love him dearly. Appreciate you, Aaron. Love you, buddy. And love to laugh. And we like to laugh at the Long Boys. We like to laugh with the Long Boys. And but we sure appreciate him. 1 Kings chapter 18. Please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. I want us to start our reading tonight here in verse number 30. We looked at quite a bit of this already this morning as we launched our new theme for the year. We were focusing this year on growing forward. And our theme and our thought around that is four areas. We're hoping to grow forward through worship, through worshiping God. We're hoping to grow forward of reaching people. We hope to grow forward of teaching God's word, and we hope to grow forward, intentionally growing forward, in ministering to people. And we're going to give you an opportunity for the ministering aspect coming up the 17th of January with that luncheon for those veterans. If you could help serve, we need their sign-up sheets. If you could help with cleanup, again, there's sign-up. There's volunteer forms back there, sheets you can sign your name down, and it'll be hopefully a joint effort if you can make it that day. I know it's last minute, kind of last minute, a couple weeks out, but again, we did just get the information. So if you can't make it out and you can help, you can give to that. If you'd like to give some money just to purchase some of the items, we'll be more than happy to take that if you can't get out and do those as well. So just want to be praying for that. Be praying that the Lord will use us as instruments of mercy that day. And I know it's going to be a great day as we love on our veterans. 1 Kings 18, verse 30. The Bible says, "Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." Again, Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for the joy we have of preaching your gospel message. We thank you, Father, for just the amazing things that you're doing in our life, for the amazing things you're doing in the life of our church. And God, we just pray now that you will be with us tonight. May you bless, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher, be our guide. And Father, may we learn of what you would have us to learn tonight, Lord, to fall more in love with you in our aspects of our worship. For it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The power of worship. The power of worship. Why do we worship? As I shared with you this morning, but perhaps maybe you didn't write it down or maybe you just forgot about it, let me remind you why we worship. Worship identifies us as the people of God. We have an opportunity as God's people, if you've been born again, we have an opportunity to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to worship the one that created you, the one that brought you into existence. We have an opportunity to worship the one who died on the cross 2,000 years ago, was buried, but rose again the third day. What a joy it is to be able to worship our Lord. When you come to 1 Kings chapter 18, the context and the backdrop is you have Elijah the prophet, kind of the characters in the story. Elijah the prophet of God has now showed up after a period of drought and famine that God used him to announce would come before King Ahab. He had told Ahab that there will not be dew nor rain until God says it's going to rain. And God brought a famine. He brought that drought on the land. We now come to Mount Carmel, where Elijah has assembled with the people of Israel as well as other people there on that mountaintop. And as Elijah shows up, he comes to a nation that was absolutely inundated with false teachings, with false worship. They were worshiping the god of Baal, the false god of Baal. If you remember, Baal was the fertility god of that day. He was the fertility god. In more specific terms, he was a god of produce and commerce, of money. You know, so that was kind of that. But then there was the other false deity of Asherah. Asherah was the immoral, was a god that was immoral from a sexual standpoint. And we need not go into more of that. So you can kind of sense that the culture had so captured the hearts of God's people that God's people no longer were standing out as like they should have been as ambassadors for Christ. They now had kind of really blended in with the culture. They no longer were voices in the darkness. They no longer were light in a dark world that God had called them to be. They now look no different than what the culture that they found themselves. So we looked at this morning how Elijah, the great prophet of God, and the courage that he had to literally face that and go and face that head on. I'm thankful for men of God all over our country and all over our world that stand and proclaim the truth of God's word regardless of what society and culture dictates. I'm thankful that men of God stand and preach the truth of God's word. Amen? The truth. They don't water it down. They don't mess around with it. They preach, thus saith the Lord. And as my preacher used to say, you preach, thus saith the Lord, you let the chips fall where they may. So the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a powerful message, and it has a message to change people's lives. Elijah was a great prophet of God that had the courage enough to call the people back to God. He told them in the earlier verses of starting there in verse 20, verse 19, and following down here to verse 29, he challenged those false prophets he put them to a challenge. He put them to a test. He said, here's what we're going to do. He said, you're going to take a bull. You're going to cut it up. You're going to sacrifice it. I'm going to take a bull. I'm going to prepare it. I'm going to cut it up. I'm going to prepare for the sacrifice. And we're both going to pray. You're going to pray to your false gods. I'm going to pray to the Lord God Jehovah. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. When he first challenged the people of Israel, they wouldn't open their mouth. When he said to them, how long halt you between two opinions? Literally, what he was saying to them was this. It's time. It's decision time. We must make a choice, and here's a thought, maybe a hope it'll capture your heart with. We as God's people especially must make a choice who we're going to serve. We honestly must. We must make a choice. I received a text message this afternoon from someone I care about deeply, and they were saying to me, they said, well, once again, I slept in. I didn't go to church this morning. And they said, and they text me quite a bit, and they said to me, and I love this individual. And they said to me, they said, can you give me a verse? Can you give me a verse? Can you give me a passage of scripture? And in their words, that will kind of get a hold of me so that I can be more faithful. And to be honest with you, this individual has sent me those kind of text messages over the years. And I responded something like this. I said, well, first of all, I said, it comes down to choices. It comes down to this individual said, can you tell me something that will allow me to become faithful? They said, I overslept this morning. I didn't come to church. I said, well, here's my counsel. I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, set an alarm. Amen. Set an alarm. And number two, go to bed early enough so that way you, when you wake up in the morning for church, you're not wore out, dog tired. Amen. You can come prepared to worship the Lord. Of course, they fired back a text and they said, well, don't get mad at me. I'm like, no. I said, I'm not getting mad at you. I said, but it comes down to choices. Do we honestly think that we can just, me worshiping God, it's just going to happen. It's just going to happen naturally. No, it will not. It takes, not to borrow last year's theme, but it takes intentionality in our hearts. It takes that, maybe this is a new word for this year, it takes purposefulness in our hearts and in our minds. I wonder oftentimes what would happen if God's people truly, all of us, collectively, all of us, and I say this to myself, what would happen if every single one of us got more, I'm not trying to borrow the word intentional, but it's the only word that comes to my heart. What would happen if every single one of us decided to make decisions that are based on what God's best is for our life? We know it's God's best for us to be in church. Amen. Can I get a witness? We don't have to pray about that. We know it's God's best for us to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that's God's best for our lives. And really what it comes down to is choices. Will we make the necessary choice? Will we make choices? Boy, say that fast. Will we make choices that are based on God's will for our life or the false gods that we've been serving? Wow. Wow, what a thought. And that's really what Elijah was saying. How long halt you between two opinions? He says that in the earlier verses, starting verse 19 and following. He says, and then he says, and I even sent this passage to that individual through text message. I said, 1 Kings chapter 18, starting in verse 19, read all the way down to verse 40. And they responded back. They're like, well, I've already read that passage. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking, read it again. Amen. Read it again. So then I said, well, I'll tell you what, read Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. Those are fantastic passages in the Bible. Psalm 51 is David's repentive song. Psalm 32 is David's remembrance psalm. Phenomenal passages. And I say that, you say, well, preacher, you made it sound like you're being hard on that individual. No, God knows my heart. I love this individual with all of my heart. I care deeply about this individual and their family. But really what it boils down to, there is no, I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can allow ourselves to get to the point in our life, in our own spiritual journeys, that we think, oh, okay, take this pill and everything's okay. No, friend, it's not like that. It takes being purposeful in your heart and denying of ourselves. And I said to this individual, I said, let me give you some counsel. I said, the first thing you have to do is deny, and I mentioned their name. I wrote it right in the text. I said, you have to deny this individual. And I said, you have to serve Jesus. That's what it boils down to. And I say that, I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm preaching that even to myself. Because I know Tracy Harold perhaps better than some. And I know the propensity in my heart to drift away from the Lord. So it comes down to denying myself and taking up my cross and following the Lord Jesus Christ. So there has to be some things. And I'm going somewhere with that. And I'll show you in this passage of Scripture. So there was the courage of the prophet. There was a calling to the people. But then there was something else. As you come down through this passage, Elijah, the first thing that he does in verse 30 is he repairs the altar. The altar, remember what we said, that the altar in Israel, in the life of the nation of Israel, the altar was very important because it was representative of their worship with the Lord Jesus. We said that you could track the pilgrim's journey, the journeys of the nation of Israel in the wilderness. They would build an altar and worship the Lord over here, then they'd travel a little further. They'd build an altar and they worship over here, then they'd travel a little further. They built an altar and so on and so on and so on and so on. And you could track them. Oh, that's the people of God all the, yeah, they worshiped over there. They worshiped over here. They worshiped over here. They worshiped over here. The altar was very, it was a very prominent, and it was a very powerful thing in the life of the nation of Israel. Why do we worship? We worship, and then one of the reasons we worship is because it identifies us as God's people. We're God's people, and we, because we are, if we're born again, we know Christ our Savior, we must worship. Well, you say, preacher, you said worship last year. Why are we starting worship? We have to start with worship. If we're going to have a good year, listen, friend. Everybody look up here for a minute. If we're going to have a good year, and I'm talking spiritually, it starts with worship. So my question is this. First Sunday of 2015, who are you going to worship this year? Who are you going to worship? Are you going to worship the God of money? That's what Baal was. Or the false god? Are you going to worship the false god of money? Are you going to worship the false god of commerce? Are you going to worship the false god of the produce in that time? What is going to be your God? Is Jesus going to be our God? I hope that he will be. Amen? I hope that he will be our God this year. And if he is our God this year, and we are going to focus and really intentionally trying to grow forward for the Lord Jesus, he has to be the God that we serve. There can't be any other God. And that's another thing. Here's another principle that comes out of this passage. Jesus will not share. He will not share his worship. He won't do it. You'll either worship him or you'll worship Baal. You'll either worship him or you'll worship Asherah. And that's what Elijah was saying to him. Jesus, Jehovah God, he will not share in his worship. He wants all of your worship. Amen? He wants all of it. So we see he's calling the people back to God. The first thing he does is he repairs the altar. The Bible tells us that in verse 30. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He didn't rebuild it, he repaired it. Now, if the altar had been broken down like the Bible tells us, what does that mean? That means they hadn't been worshiping in a while. Well, there's so many sermons in that, you preachers in this room. There's so many sermons in that thought. So many altars that we should focus on maybe repairing this year. The altar in our family. Man, our families need a touch of God, do they not? Our marriages need a touch of God. I mean, our relationship with fathers and mothers, with their children. Man, that needs a touch of God today. In our homes, in our churches, in our personal lives, some altars that need to be repaired. The first thing he done was he repaired the altar as he's calling the people back to God. We see him reestablishing their identity. We see that in verse 31 and 32 when he takes those 12 stones. The Bible says in verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, and unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Not in the name of Baal, not in the name of Asherah. He built built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Now, I don't know about you, but from a human perspective, if you want fire to consume something, you can't light wet wood. You can't do it. It's almost impossible to do it. It's almost impossible to keep it going if you're able to get it going at all. It's almost impossible for it to keep going. So Elijah says, I'll tell you what. The sacrifice that I'm going to make, and my God I'm going to pray to, water is no challenge for my God. He can light this whole thing on fire if he chooses to do that. And Elijah believed that he would do it. You know what I love about Elijah? Elijah was a prophet of God in this passage that still had hope for the people of God. You know, that's a tremendous thought. You know, I think sometimes if we're not careful, maybe even in our own hearts, from a spiritual perspective, maybe we think, well, you know, preacher, it can never be like it used to be. I'll never be able to be used of God again. I'll never be able to be faithful like I used to. Listen, who are you listening to? Because when I study my Bible, my God does amazing things. And he still does amazing things. He is a God that not only, listen to this. He is a God that not only forgives the backslidden believer, he is a God that restores that backslidden believer back to fellowship and service. Wow. Isn't that awesome? He's an amazing God. So don't ever underestimate his power and what he can do in your life. He goes on through this. And he says, and he said in verse 34, so they pour the water on it the first time. In verse 34, he says, do it a second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, notice what he does, notice his prayer, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. What had he just done in the earlier verses? He took 12 stones and he built an altar out of those 12 stones. Those 12 stones was symbolic and they were very significant. Those 12 stones represented every tribe of the nation of Israel. So he comes now to his prayer and he says, Lord God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, let it be known. Look what he says. I love this. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. He said, wait a minute, preacher. They were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping Asherah. And yet Elijah now, and the people of God, and as I said earlier, and what was so sad about it, they now, the people of God, members of all those 12 tribes, the nation of Israel, they now had blended into their culture. They had no distinction. They had lost their identity. They looked like anybody else. They looked like the world that they were supposed to be in, but the world not be in them. They were looking just like the other pagan worshiping people and the false God worshiping people. In Israel, the nation of Israel had now just kind of gotten comfortable to just blend in. You see, sometimes, honestly, friend, sometimes it's easier to just blend in. It's easier just to kind of set back and say, you know what? Man, I don't want to upset the apple cart. I don't want to be known as some holy roller or some religious fanatic. I'm just going to blend in. I know our culture says, you know, it's okay for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. And it's gotten so confused and gotten so messed up in the realm of human sexuality. I think that was predominant in that culture. Worshiping Asherah just simply was a thought of, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it, then it must not be. There must not be anything wrong with it if it feels right. But you and I, listen, friend, you and I that know Christ our Savior, we know better than that. Right? We know better than that. That is absolute nonsense to believe that type of ideology. But can you imagine? You're an Israelite. You're of Benjamin. You're of the other tribes, and you're just blending in. Your voice, culture has silenced your voice. Culture has silenced your influence. But you know what I'm grateful about God? God is a God that will call us back to himself. He is a God that will call us, and he is a God that will forgive. So let's read through this. I'm going to end. My goal is to be done by 7. He goes on and he says in his prayer, let it be known, the middle part of verse 36, let it be known this day that thou art God, big G. Thou art God in Israel. Baal and Asherah, they can do nothing for these people. We saw that in the earlier verses. Those false prophets of Baal and Asherah, they prayed unto him, to those false deities from morning until night. It got so Elijah started mocking me and says, hey, your God must be sleeping. Cry louder. Oh, maybe your God, he's asleep and must be awakened. Oh, maybe he's on a journey. And the Bible says, very sadly, it says that those people got so out of control, they began to cut themselves with lancets and bleed. They're bleeding as they're crying out to their false God. But there was no answer. See, that's what the world does. That's what false gods do. Let me say it like this. False gods can do nothing for the void in your soul. They can do nothing. But there is a God who can. There is a God who can fill a void in your soul. And Elijah says, Lord, let them know this day that thou art God in Israel. And that I am thy servant and I have done all these things at thy word. God was calling his people back to worship. When you lose your sense of worship, you lose a sense of who you are, the people of God. He was calling them back to worship. He repairs the altar. He reestablishes their identity. But the last thing I want to show you, we see the celebration of God's power. There's four things under this. Very, very quickly I want to show you, and I hope God will use it. We see the celebration of God's power. In verse 37, he says, hear me, O hear me. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Aren't you grateful for that verse? Let me say it like this. Aren't you grateful for a God that can turn your heart back to him? Love that. Celebration of God's power. The first thing we see in this, notice first of all, they saw something. Verse 38, look at this. This is awesome. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones. Wow. And the stones and the dust. And licked up the water that was in the trench. All I can say there is go God. Amen. Go God. Okay, how would you have liked to have been one of the Israelites? For a while now, you have steeped in and gotten involved in, stay with me, as a believer, you had gotten involved in some things you shouldn't have gotten involved in. As a believer, you no longer were being a voice and no longer being a light in the dark world. You now, your light has pretty much diminished and you've kind of blended back into this pagan, idolatrous culture. But something happens in the heart of God's people when they see God's power. Bless you, my brother. Something happens in the heart of God's people when they see the fire of God fall on that altar. You see, that altar was symbolic of their worship. That altar was a special place where they had dedicated and consecrated to the Lord for God to dwell, for God to meet with them, and God to show up and do something supernatural that only he could do. And the Bible tells us the fire of the Lord falls on them. And did you see this? Oh, did I not mention this to you? After three times of them pouring water on the sacrifice and pouring water in the trenches, Jehovah God says, that's not a problem for me. Whoom! And he takes it all up. Takes even the dust away. Takes the stones away. Takes the sacrifice. Licks up all the water. And notice the text. I love this. They saw something, but second of all, letter B, they did something. You see, when you see the power of God fall, and by the way, Emmanuel, we've seen him do that. Can I get a witness in this room? We've seen the power of God fall on this church many, many times. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've seen God do some amazing things. And notice verse 39. And when all the people saw it, what did they see? They saw a God who answers prayer. They saw a God who heard their prayer. They saw a God who could do something in their hopeless condition. And they saw a God. They saw evidence of a God that could take their hard heart and turn it back to his will for their lives. They no longer were going to blend in. They no longer were going to just kind of just go along to get along. Nope. They saw something. They did something. Verse 39 says, and when all the people saw it, here's what they did. They fell on their faces. They fell on their faces. They didn't fall on their face before Baal and Asherah any longer. They didn't bow down to false deities. They were bowing down in humble service to the Lord God Jehovah. There's a celebration of God's power. God had arrested their heart. God had arrested their soul. God had showed them once again he was an amazing God. I tell you, I'm thankful for a God like that. Aren't you? I'm thankful for a God like that. I'm thankful for a God that when you come to church, I'm thankful that it should never be business as usual. I pray that every time we come to the house of the Lord, I pray God shows up and he shows out and he does something that will leave us speechless or leave us to the point going out of this room, out of these doors saying, to God be the glory. Only God could do what he did today at Emmanuel Baptist. To God be the glory. They saw something, they did something, they said something. Verse 39, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God, not Asherah, not Baal. But then they didn't. I want you to see something else, real quick. They saw something. They saw the fire of God fall. They did something. They fell on their faces before the Lord. They said something. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. But the last thing I want you to see is often the most difficult. They had to kill something. Look at the text. In verse 40 it says, and Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Literally the word take means seize. Seize, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Wow. He said, I thought he's a God of love. He is a God of love. He loves his people so much that he will do what is necessary to keep their devotion and attention and their worship solely given to him. Why did they kill the prophets of Baal? I thought about this, and I wrote this down. The prophets of Baal had become a distracting voice in the ears and the heart of God's people. So God says to Elijah says, we're going to get every one of them, we're going to kill them all. You say, preacher, that's kind of intense, isn't it? Listen, friend, why do we worship? Worship identifies us as the people of God. You know, I thought about it, and we don't have time to develop it, but the people of God now had been brought back in fellowship and worship to the Lord Jesus. But you do know this about worship. You do understand that worship, we can worship God today and boy, Satan come along and try to distract us to where next Sunday we're not going to worship. You do know that, right? You do know that there's often distraction. There's often things in our life that, honestly, and the only way to say it, there's often things that can come into our life and they become a God. You say, preacher, how do you know they become a God? I mean, honestly, how do you know they become a God? They become a God when they get between you and the worship of your Savior. They become a God. Well, preacher, I would, but I can't because of this, 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 this. It might have become a God in your life. Might have become a God in your life. You say, what do I need to do with it? Put it to death, man. Put it to death. Kill some things. This is a big deal. You say, oh, preacher, what does it matter? I mean, I'm not going to be in church for the next 14 months. What is it going to matter? I'll tell you what's going to matter. You're going to die, and you're going to die in your effectiveness and worship of your Savior. That's what's going to happen. You mark it down, it's going to happen. Here's my next question. Will it be worth it? No way. Will you do it like the Israelites and become worshiping a God of commerce, worshiping a God of money, worshiping a God of sexual impropriety and sexual immorality? We have a lot of gods in our culture. But sweet friend, there's only one God, and his name is the Lord God Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that deserves your adoration. He deserves your worship. He deserves your praise. And he, listen, he is the only one worthy of it all. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us. We trust if God has touched your heart that you'll respond. If you're here tonight and you've never placed your faith and trust in Christ, you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins, and you've never been born again, I encourage you tonight to repent and believe the gospel, the death, burial, the resurrection of Christ. God will save you if you'll ask him. He'll forgive you of all your sins if you'll ask him. Maybe that's your desire. To the believer, maybe tonight, you say, preacher, I'll be honest, God's called me back to him. He did that this morning. He really, truly called me back in my heart. Maybe he did that tonight. Maybe he's turned your heart back again. Maybe, though, now, you've got to get proactive. And maybe tonight, you'll go home with an understanding that there needs to be some deaths. There needs to be some things that are killed in your life that are robbing you of your worship. See, he had to get rid of, Elijah had to get rid of the distracting voice in the hearts and the minds of the people of God. He had to. Don't let one of them escape. Why? Because if you let one of them escape, the danger of the one voice is that one voice begins to influence another and they become two voices. Two voices begin to influence another, they become three, and so on and so on and so on. Maybe tonight you'll just come and say, maybe to the altar, say, Lord Jesus, I need help killing these things. I know I can't do it in my own self. I can't do it in my own flesh, God, but I know you can do it with the power of your Holy Spirit. God, you can kill these other voices, and you can kill these other things that I've pledged allegiance to. Maybe that's what your desire. Maybe that's God's desire in your heart. You come as we're saying, Brother Stephen.
Number 310.